Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
As delegates from around the world meet in Bali to plan for the possible healing of the planet, there's a generation of students who will feel the pain if the right prescription is not written soon. Do they know what's going on? We take a sampling of what college kids are thinking and an update from the Bali conference and more when your Voice of the Earth continues here on the Wild Side News. You know, we're focusing on the Bali conference, which we'll provide a summary of in just a moment, as well as what's happened to the energy bill that passed the House during this week's Nature News. But here's my bottom line on the battle in Bali that's in round 7 as we speak. In the years ahead, the Bali roadmap will be drawn up as a result of the conference. And it's obvious that the U.S., Canada, Japan, and China, and other industrialized nations are kicking out the teeth in the agreement. But I've been watching this world for a few years now, and I think this is on the mark. We won't get the perfect agreement at this conference, but here's the great news, and the operative thought to take home with you. The whole world is talking. And that, my friends, is the best news we've had in quite a while. Talking is the magic elixir of change. It has the amazing ability to penetrate through even the thickest skull with time. That's the way it always works, whether it be between two people or two opposing worlds. No one likes to admit they're wrong, but through time everyone has the right to claim that they've changed their view. And despite some of the less than stellar reports on the Bali conference, just wait and see where we all are 10 years from now. I'm guessing we will be living in an advancing clean tech world with new and inventive solutions to many of our problems. That's my prediction. And I'm willing to bet a dollar I'm right. Any takers? Following this week's Nature News, we're heading to UCSD, the University of California, San Diego, to hear what students are thinking about nature and the environment. That's coming up. But first, the news. The House passed the new energy bill, 235 to 181, in what Democrats characterized as a new direction. The bill rolled back $13.5 billion in tax benefits to oil companies and transferred them to companies involved in developing new energy sources. The bill also set a requirement for auto companies to boost fuel economy by 40% by 2020, the first such increase since 1975, and it required utilities to generate a large chunk of electricity from sources such as solar and wind energy. The White House warned that if Congress passed the bill, President Bush would veto it. The U.S. Senate then picked up the bill the next day and voted 53 to 42, short of the 60 votes needed, to move it to a final vote, influenced largely by oil and energy interests who disliked the tax shift and the clean tech provisions. Some pundits are saying that the mandate for Congress is shifting from serving the nation to saving the nation. Maybe next year. And now an update on the Bali conference. Today marks the 10th anniversary of the Kyoto Protocol, which was the largest worldwide gathering of world leaders to address the future of Earth's environmental challenges. It took 8 years to come to the final agreement, which challenged the industrialized nations to take the lead in addressing global warming and to help the industrializing nations advance in their efforts. However, the agreement had no real effect on global warming because there were no effective legal frameworks for accountability. Enter Bali, 2007, 10 years later, and with much greater evidence of a warming atmosphere. The Bali conference, which is in its second week, had hoped to set up true mandates for reductions, hopes for binding objectives to reduce carbon emissions by between 25 and 40% by 2020, compared with 1990 levels, were removed from the draft document, however, thus drastically weakening, once again, the teeth of the treaty. This is in large part due to the lack of commitment by the world's two leading carbon emitters, which within a few months will see China move ahead of the U.S. as the world's leaders. Japan and Canada appear to be resistant to commit to mandatory constraints as well. The Bali Roadmap, as the treaty is now being referred to, is expected to be worked out by 2012 when the Kyoto Protocols are set to expire. 2 years of negotiations are expected to take place following the Bali Conference in all corners of the world to come to a final agreement. One success story is the development of an adaptation fund to help pay for improvements to poorer nations affected by global warming. The money will come from a 2% fee on all transactions carried on as part of the Clean Development Carbon Cap and Trade Mechanism, which provides carbon credits to developed nations which they can offset against their emissions targets provided they invest in clean tech projects in poorer countries. The conference continues into its second week. We will bring you a summary of the conference in next week's show. And on a final note, Indonesia announced a national effort to save the remaining orangutan population, the last of Asia's great apes, by protecting its vast tropical rainforests. With the numbers cut in half in the last 35 years to perhaps 50,000, and with an estimated 3,500 lost each year, it is only a matter of time before these amazing beings are gone from the earth. We will be following this story in the months ahead. And that's the news. So what happens when you visit one of the nation's leading universities and talk to students there about nature and the environment? That's what I did, and here's what they had to say. This is a random sampling of students who I talked with at the University of California, San Diego. I have to preface this collection by saying that students had a lot on their minds, pumped and stoked into place with endless hours of cramming. It was finals week. And a lot of students brushed me off when I asked if they'd like to talk because they were minutes away from jamming on a final exam. So I have to thank the students who you are about to hear. I invited each one to share with me what they were thinking about nature and the environment. It's a pretty interesting spectrum.
So I'm talking with
Maximilian.
And Maximilian, your thoughts about nature and the environment these days, what's on your mind?
Well, I don't know, there are a lot of changes going on, I guess, but I don't know if that's even unusual. Probably changes happen all the time. And I think now that we're just becoming more aware of our actual environment and all the minor changes that can happen, we're starting to make a big deal out of stuff that I'm not even sure is that important. I mean, it could be important to us, but it's like global warming, for instance. You know, it could just be a cyclical thing that happens, the Earth heats up and cools down. Whether or not it's man-made is probably more important, but I don't know how easy that is to find a solution to, even if we do know what is happening. But
in your cadre of friends, are people talking about these issues, getting into discussions or whatever?
Not really about the environment and stuff like that. We talk more about like things that aren't so heavy, you know. Just, I don't know if there's a way that my field could help out in the area. I mean, Earth is obviously important, so there'd probably be, you know, a big movement to solve these problems, if it's even possible at this point. But I think that right now we don't have it evaluated enough yet to actually know how big the problem is, if there even is a problem.
I next interrupted two male students who were apparently cramming for a test and asked if either of them had a minute to talk about nature. One student ducked back to the book, but one stood up, anxious to talk.
I'm talking to
Gene.
What's your major here?
I'm studying management science. That's econ.
What do you think about nature, the environment?
I think it's a field that has been forgotten in modern Western civilization, where it's been taken over by materialism, about cars, about owning clothes, about owning a big house, a pool, and whatnot. We kind of forgot about the whole, you know, natural side of nature that we come from, maybe God, religion, all that. It's kind of been shoved into the corners of academics and just in general of the population concerns. It's the least of our concerns now.
So how is it that you've come to that realization?
Smoking pot.
That will definitely open up the doors of perception to the sensitive nature.
It comes from Earth and it makes you one with Earth.
So what I'm hearing you saying is that you feel as if somehow in academia that more spiritual side, if I may use that term, seems to be not part of the messaging.
It's not only not part of it, it's also kind of hidden, you know, or just kind of shoved under the carpet for the individual to figure out on his own. You know, like, we'll teach you economy, we'll teach you politics, law, mathematics, but you have to figure out nature on your own. I think that's kind of wrong. It has underlining power, like a vast blanket, you know. I mean, oil comes from nature, oxygen comes from trees. It's a driving force that is kind of ignored in today's policies.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in L.A., but I was born in Ukraine. I grew up in L.A.
Do you consider yourself a nature person?
Yes. Big time.
Big time. Talk about that.
Well, my grandma is in tune with nature. She has actually wild animals coming to her house, and she feeds like squirrels and birds, and she has cages, but the cages are always open. You know, and then that's how I was raised. I wasn't raised about owning birds. You know, I own the coolest parrot, but I was more about being kind of collaborating with nature, compromising with nature, not capturing it, but only feeding it and letting it be natural. So a lot of like my nature beliefs come from my grandma's warm heart. I mean, that's how.
So as you look out into the future here and look at the world around you, do you feel that people are missing that point?
I feel they're missing the point because we're too caught up in the frontiers of population growth and demographic changes. We're growing exponentially fast, and everybody's job is to figure out how to survive now. We're at an unnaturally large state, and like, it's not reasonable to say, oh yeah, we gotta start killing people, or, you know, stop medicine. That's kind of unethical. So we gotta cope with that. And because we have to cope with it, we focus on economic factors, political factors predominantly, not the nature factors. Because we're trying to cope with an unnatural large population.
If you could be king for a day or president, I mean, what sort of solutions would you, if you could, just make happen, if you could mandate them?
Solutions to the problem. You know, I really I'm against religion, and I think unifying as a worldwide nation instead of America and, you know, Europe, it's just one nation, like a human race. I think that's the first giant leap that we have to make to understand that we're all really one. Doesn't matter how you believe in God or if you do or not. We're all one. We're all going to be born. We're all going to die. You know, we got to survive together on this instead of pointing fingers at whose fault is it that the world is unstable. We should just all together. I gotta encourage more group activity. You know, we're too individualistic of a society, especially so big. It should be more group activity, like public parks, studying in public parks, picnics, like just swinging on a swing set, daydreaming in the middle of nature. That's like unheard of in a big metropolitan city. Everybody's always Starbucks, you know, going home, going this, McDonald's drive through on the go, on the cell phone, and 350 latte. Everything is individualistic and drive through, but it should be more communal. That way, I think we'd have more respect for nature.
How are we going to move in that direction? I mean, we're in a great, big, huge marketing system here that pretty much runs almost everything.
Yep.
It's just the truth, you know. Many of us are concerned about these kinds of things, but boy, it's a tough pitch out there because all that stuff is just so powerful.
Yeah.
Look at me. You know, I'm sitting here with my little recorder here, okay?
Yeah.
And I got a recorder over here, and I got one over here. But however, I also realize that maybe change something.
What do you think?
You asked me. Okay. We're just totally out of sync with the reality. People, generally speaking, are not aware of the limits that exist, the degree to which, if we continue in this direction, we're basically going to hit a big, huge wall that isn't really being discussed. I mean, issues of even just the cost of food, for example. We're talking about water shortages. We're talking about certainly oil, you know, and resource wars and things of that nature. They're already beginning to happen. I'm not even talking about global warming.
I personally think that global warming is a natural effect to decrease population. I mean, because we're unnatural, and because war is becoming unlikely, because we're all being modernized and kind of smart. You know, killing a man is like, it's a waste of time. Put your mind to better thought use. I think that's just nature's way of saying, you know what, you guys are unnaturally too big for me to support you. Cut the population off.
Do you want to be a survivor?
Do I want to be a survivor? I don't think it's up for me to choose. Because I'm so young, I'm still learning. I don't believe I have the power to impact changes. But when I do establish myself in the working community, I want to go to the direction where everybody is connected to everybody through nature. Kind of like a religion based on nature, where it's kind of a synonymous belief that, yeah, if we f*** this earth, we f*** ourselves kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Now, I believe not a lot of people understand that. Have a nice day.
You bet. Thank you.
I continued my quest and was forced to empathize with university students in finals week. Is there anything more numbing to the outside world than finals? But the show must go on. I found my next study.
So I'm talking to?
Lynn.
And where are you from, Lynn?
I'm from Oceanside, California.
Oh, just up the road here.
Yes.
Yeah. And what's your major here?
Human biology.
Oh, that's a terrific subject to be talking about, the nature and the environment, in its many respects. For you, when you think about these issues, what is that you think about, or your concerns or your passions?
I kind of feel that a lot of people are just ignoring the environment and plowing their way on through and just living their own life without really being mindful of what's happening to the earth. But I think that we're really connected to the earth, so what we do really has an impact on it. So that's why I think if people become more aware of conserving, then the earth will be saved and we won't have to worry so much of mass extinction. But I decided to study human biology because I feel that human is also important, not in the sense that we are dominating and we're on top of the world, but we have to take care of ourselves, and once we take care of ourselves, then we can take care of the earth as well, and that's how I feel about it.
Do some of the issues that are facing us these days concern you in that regard?
Yes. Well, since we live in the desert, I'm just appalled at how a lot of people just waste water. So I try to turn off the shower and sink when I'm doing things instead of letting it go to waste, because water is really important and it's just depleted nowadays. The world's getting bigger and there's just not enough room, but I think it's possible. I'm trying to be optimistic, so...
I'm doing this because I'm optimistic that we as humans have the intelligence and we have the technologies now to share information and try to make a difference and communicate with each other, and hopefully we can change some of the destructive tendencies that we have. And there's all sorts of extraordinary technologies that people are dreaming about, making billions and billions of dollars. And I think that's great. The more we can make money off of doing great stuff, the world will become a better place.
Yeah.
So that's always what I'm trying to promote, is this concept of making a better world through our wisdom. Just on a personal level, when you think about nature, what is something that really attracts you or that you're attracted to?
It's very refreshing. I just had a final and I felt so depleted of energy, and just being out here, sitting out here, it's really nice to get the refreshing oxygen.
It was refreshing to find such passion and awareness in the new tribe. And then sometimes...
Hi, I'm talking with...
Caleb.
You know, what are you thinking about the earth these days? I'm just curious what you're thinking about these things.
You know, I like to think that there's room for all of God's creatures right next to the mashed potatoes, you know. I like the earth. I like vegetables, fruits, grains, beef. Beef's my favorite animal. You know, I love the earth. It's, you know, provides so much for us. You know, air, oxygen, carbon dioxide, poison oak, just, you know, all that fun stuff. Deer, cows, venison. Have you ever had venison stew? Wonderful.
I actually prefer elk.
I've had elk spaghetti. I have a relative who's, for health reasons, he only eats meat that he hunts because it's healthier. And so when I went to his house, we had elk spaghetti. It's really good.
If you think about what's happening to some of the creatures around the world, some of the habitats that are being taken down, for example, does that concern you at all? I mean, in other words, if you care about, even from the perspective of just eating deer, if there are forests that are being destroyed or whatever else, does that concern you at all?
Well, I figure, you know, natural selection, you know, for the animals, but, you know, trees, I think they're kind of selfish. I mean, they just stand there all day, and so some trees, I think, deserve to be cut down because they're just ugly.
Now, where'd you grow up?
Chula Vista.
Have you had a chance to travel much around the states? Or?
I've been in most of the states, most of the southern states. I'm from the south, my family. So, you know, Georgia, Alabama, been to
Europe, Norway, Mexico. I've been to quite a few places.
When you go to those places, what do you notice about there?
You know, Norway is a beautiful country. The fjords, you know, they have waterfalls, they have these beautiful canyons, they, you know, these mile-long tunnels. I felt the Netherlands, when I went to the Netherlands, they were kind of dirty. Everything just had like a layer of grime on it. And Ireland was beautiful. You know, they had the greenest trees you'd ever see in Ireland.
So do you think it's important that we keep that beauty in the environment?
Yes. I mean, I know. I like, hunting. We're cutting down big forests and stuff like that. But, we do have, places like Yosemite, which are preserved, which I also have done rock climbing in. You know, places like Yosemite might not be the way they are and available for people to go out and climb and enjoy if we didn't preserve them. The habitats also.
Now, there's lots of talk about global warming. Just what are your thoughts on that?
I'm still out on the global warming. I mean, there's a lot of evidence for it, but I've also heard other explanations that seem just as plausible. And yeah.
Not exactly a setback, but at least a sidestep. And then...
Hi, I'm talking to...
Catherine.
And what's your major?
My major is biology.
I have to assume you do think about nature and the environment at least a little bit.
Yes.
What is it that you spend your time thinking about?
In terms of the environment, I'm really thinking about, conservation. Like, what are we doing to expand our national park system and maintain the parks we have, and wildlife areas, conservation of species, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Do you have thoughts about how that might take place, what some of the priorities may be?
I think there aren't very high priorities for expanding the national parks and for expanding wildlife areas, which I think is really unfortunate because it really shows in the extinction rates and preserving biodiversity in America and across the world. I think expanding forest areas and wildlife preserves should be a priority.
That's a very significant topic, and I'm glad you can talk about that. Why is that important?
Well, it's just really important because the Earth works in such a complex way, and we need these systems that have been in place in the world for so long. They keep the water clean naturally. We just need all the trees and plants that do their natural job to keep doing it so that we don't throw the Earth so off balance that it may become unlivable.
Are you at all concerned that we may be reaching a tipping point of some sort?
Yeah, I think that's definitely a concern. Eventually, we're going to run out, and yeah.
As you know, once a form of collapse takes place in a natural system, since everything is interconnected and much interdependent, things can really start to go down. As you look into the future, there's a lot of talk about mass extinction and things of that nature. What are your thoughts personally in terms of the future and how this may turn out?
Well, actually, right now we're in a mass extinction. So, I mean, if we're not going to change and start trying to preserve more species, it's just going to keep getting worse. We're going to keep losing more and more species. So we have to do something. I mean, there's nothing telling us we shouldn't do something.
That's good. I've talked with a number of people here, and I must say there's quite a diversity of perspectives and awareness. These are difficult choices that we have to make in these regards. What are some thoughts that you may have that you think could make a difference?
Government plays a big part in what happens, in policy globally and locally. So people have to do their research, and if they'd like to see a change in how people care for the environment, then they need to find someone that will help them do that. So
now, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in the Bay Area near San Francisco.
Uh-huh. Within your peer group, your friends and things like that, what do you think is the level of concern?
Well, my friends, I'm not sure if they're necessarily thinking about these topics as often, but I mean, when people hear about global warming, I think our generation does think about it a little bit more because it's something that we've kind of grown up with. Hearing, the planet's getting hotter. It didn't used to be this hot, so I think it's something that we're kind of programmed to think about a little bit more.
Do you get involved in politics at all?
Yeah, I do. But, yeah,
Any thoughts about who you seem to think may have a good idea, may be on track, share some of your concerns?
Not really. I'm kind of discouraged by the presidential debates so far. I mean, I haven't really seen a candidate that stands out to me too much, so for any party. So I think our political system needs to be more straightforward. People need to be more straightforward with their opinions and their beliefs, not just pushing a party. So
the whole world is developing now. China, for example, mm-hmm. is coming online big time. Are you concerned about that?
I think that will have an effect on our economy because we're oil dependent and they're becoming oil dependent. There will be kind of a squeeze for resources. So if there are companies that are doing research to find alternatives, but I mean, I think we kind of have to speed it up a little bit and be ahead of the curve so that we don't, I mean, because China is expanding very rapidly, and I think we're not anticipating the effect that it's going to have so soon. So,
in terms of clean tech energy sources, are there some that appeal to you more than others?
Not really. I mean, I think they're all kind of in a starting phase. They all need some work, so we'll see what researchers come up with. That's not really my field, so.
This actually represents an honest sampling, albeit quite small, of the GW generation. No, not George W., although that too has a unique significance, but rather global warming. Are they concerned?
I'm talking to
Eric Musker.
Hi, Eric. What are you thinking about these days when it relates to nature of the environment?
Mostly what we can do to help keep the environment in its current situation and possibly reverse the effects of global warming as they've happened. Mm-hmm. And even now, I understand that we don't fully know the extent of what has happened global warming-wise, but anything we can do to prevent and or push that back is good.
Mm-hmm. What are some of your thoughts about how that might happen, how you might participate?
Well, hydrogen cars are a big deal, especially in America, because we have more cars than any other nation. So the more we can move towards alternative fuels and less emissions in that sort of arena will be better for the environment. And pushing for power sources for just general power that are not based off of burning fossil fuels and whatnot that spew that type of waste into the environment.
Now, are there some of the clean tech technologies, are some of those your favorites that you prefer to think about?
Well, one of my professors here is doing a lot of research on cold fusion, which, if they get it figured out, provides a ton of energy just from water molecules. So if that's figured out, basically all those emissions for power usage across the country drop to zero.
And if they don't, then what's the fallback?
Well, they're close. It's simply a matter at this point of being able to get that process that they have figured out into a quickly repeatable and easily reproducible cycle to be used for mainstream production of electricity.
Are you involved in any way in this arena in your studies here?
I want to be, and I've been meaning to go to his office hour, so actually sometime this week I'll be going in to talk to him and see if I can get on that project.
Uh-huh. What's your major?
Bioengineering.
Well, you're in the right place for that.
Definitely so.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you very much.
So my analysis of the new intelligentsia, actually, it seemed quite familiar, as I once had been a student at a large university during a time of environmental activism with war raging off in a foreign land. I remember thinking then that the things happening were, to a large extent, beyond my control. It was that old guard that was running things and had all the power. And I recall a moment when I realized, aha, I will be part of that old guard someday, and when that happens, we'll change the world. Well, here we are, old guardians and new guardians. And as the Bali Conference indicates, we are making a difference, which makes me wonder once again about the leadership here. What are they waiting for? Perhaps retaking our power back may be an important first step to changing the world. I know I'm ready. Wishing you all protection from the storm, this is Sidney Wildsmith saying adios. Until we meet again next Tuesday or any time on the archives, when your voice of the earth rings out around the world, here on the Wild Side News. Thank you.